Hi, this is Andrew Phillips. Thank you for downloading the Graymere Church of Christ Sermon Podcast. If you have any questions or if you'd like to contact us, check out our website at graymere.com. We'd also love for you to visit with us in a worship service. You're always welcome at Graymere Church of Christ.
This morning's readings will be from 2 Corinthians 8, 1 through 5. 2 Corinthians 8, 1 through 5. And now, brothers, we want you to know about the grace that God has given the Macedonia churches. Out of the most severe trial, their overflowing joy, their extreme poverty welled up in rich generosity. For I testify that they gave as much as they were able, and even beyond their ability. Entirely on their own, they're urgently pleading with us for the privilege of sharing in this service to the saints. And they did not do as we expected, but they gave themselves first to the Lord and then to us in keeping with God's will.
As we continue our focus on the heart of worship, we'll be spending time in 2 Corinthians chapter 8, so I hope you have your Bibles open there already. I do just want to give us a brief reminder that we have had a lot going on as a congregation. And I appreciate so much what Joe said in his prayer, thinking about those who are grieving right now. We've had a lot of losses that have taken place in the last few weeks. We want to remember those. We also have had our giveaway day, and there may even be some of you here that we met during that time, and we're thankful that you're here. We had an outstanding trunk or treat last Sunday night, and all those who worked hard putting that together, and Chris and the youth group coordinated an excellent what turned out to be sort of a fun house area there for the kids, and that was a great blessing. Columbia Bible Institute this week, there's a lot that's taking place, and as we thought about all we had last week, you'll remember that as we've been going through the process of adding additional deacons and areas of service in our work, that was slated to begin last week, and yet with everything going on, the elders decided to set aside some time this morning in order to recognize those who will be serving as deacons. And we don't want that to get lost in everything that we're doing, because it's very important. It's a process that, that has been a product of prayer and discernment and wisdom throughout the last few weeks, and so we're thankful for that. We want to continue to keep these men in our prayers as they begin serving in this role. Now, I guess it was a few years ago when one of my friends told a story about traveling with several friends of his over a weekend. They had been to another city to watch a ball game, and they were coming through on Sunday driving, and they pulled into a church building Sunday morning to worship. It was a smaller congregation, and everyone was very friendly there. And so as they were sitting there and worshiping, it came time for the contribution, for the collection to be taken up. And my friend had already decided in his mind that he would do what he usually did, and that is give his contribution for that Sunday to his home congregation. And so when the plate was passed around, he just took it and passed it to the lady that was sitting next to him. And the older lady that was sitting next to him took the plate, looked at him, and she handed it back to him. And she leaned over and said, "They mean for you to put something in there." Now, I hadn't heard of that happening before, but he did. He pulled out his wallet and found something to put in there and then kept it going. It's funny when we think about some of the expectations surrounding our giving. And giving is a difficult subject for us to talk about. In fact, money is hard for us to discuss. It's one of those subjects we're not supposed to bring up in polite company. And I can tell you it's always a little awkward to stand up and to teach about giving. And so I want to let you know off the bat, this is not a request that anyone has made of me to stand up and talk about this. And this is not a preparation for a special contribution coming up or anything like that. But as we go through this series on worship, it struck me that usually when we think of worshiping God in the ways that we do when we come together on a Sunday morning, if we were to list out the acts of worship, It seems to me like we usually reserve giving for the end of that list. I just looked through a few books that I have and things that are in my files, and usually that's the way it's listed, that giving is that fifth act on the list. And I understand that. But there's a principle here we find in 2 Corinthians chapter 8 that I believe makes it fitting for us to start here. And that is what takes place in verse 5, when Paul reveals what it was that allowed these churches he's talking about in Macedonia to be so generous. He said they gave themselves first to the Lord. When it comes to the first contribution that we're supposed to make, our first contribution on a Sunday morning even doesn't take place when the plate is passed around. The first contribution we make is to decide to dedicate ourselves to the Lord. And so even though sometimes it can be awkward or maybe even difficult to talk about money and how we spend our money, I want you to know this morning, I'm not going to tell you how to spend your money. We're going to look at God's Word and say, how can we give ourselves? Because if I give myself first to the Lord, it seems to me that other aspects of worship will fall into place. And if I want to find out how I can grow in the grace of giving, if I can grow in my dedication to God, it seems to me that the rest will fall into line. And so as we continue thinking about giving and taking the contribution, why is it that we do that? Why is it that a lady would lean over to my friend and say, you know, they mean for you to put something in here? Why does that happen? We'll ask that question. We'll also ask how we give. Not only how we give ourselves, but how do we give of our means? What's the way we're supposed to do that? A few weeks ago, I shared the story of a man who stood up in the mission field. He didn't have much, and as it came time in the assembly to pass around the plate for the contribution, they passed it around once, didn't receive enough, and so they passed it around again. And he felt bad that he didn't have anything to give, and so he took that plate, and in front of everyone, he stepped inside it and said, I don't have anything, but I can give myself. In essence, it's that kind of attitude that Paul is pointing out here. As we read through chapters 8 and 9 of 2 Corinthians, we find out that Paul's taking up a collection for the Christians in Jerusalem. At the beginning of the book of Acts, there's this time of great generosity as all of these people are converted to Christ and they're selling what they have and they're sharing it with each other. And then years down the road, there comes a time when Christians in Jerusalem are suffering. And one of the things we see in Paul's letters is that he's taking up a collection. And so as he's writing to the church of Corinth, it's almost as if by inspiration he's giving them some encouragement, maybe even a challenge, by pointing to what some fellow Christians are doing in the churches of Macedonia. And so why did they give this way? What was the reason behind it? It seems to me as we read through this passage and others, we find out that we are meant not to hoard our blessings in this world, but to be stewards. Notice the way he describes the abundance of joy. He said, their abundance of joy and their extreme poverty have overflowed in a wealth of generosity on their part. They were stewards of what they had, even if what they had might not have amounted to very much compared to those around them. We're called to be stewards. We're called to take care of what we've been given, which is difficult since we live in a world where so many problems that we see around us have been caused by money. And yet for many people, the answer to problems is to have more of it. And so if we get this message all the time that, you know, if you just had more money, if you just had more material possessions, things would be okay, that flies in the face of what we see. In fact, we see that money causes serious problems, and it's not everything. One unlikely source that we find that discovered that a few years ago was the prolific author Stephen King. He made a speech at Vassar a few years ago that was entitled Scaring You Into Action. And he told the story about a wreck that he had been in where he wound up in a country road, seriously injured in a ditch after being hit by a van. And he said, I had a MasterCard in my wallet, but when you're lying in the ditch with broken glass in your hair, nobody accepts MasterCard. He went on to say that over the following months, he got a painful but important insight. He said, we came in to this world naked and broke. We may be dressed when we go out, but we're just as broke. And he says, the greatest power that we have is the power of compassion, the ability to give. We have enormous resources in this country, but they're only yours on loan, only yours to give for a short while. I want you to consider making your lives one long gift to others, and why not? All you have is on loan anyway. I would add to that, that all we have is on loan from God. That all we have are gifts that have been given to us by God. And as he says, that those contributions, it's those things that can make a lasting difference. The rest is, as he describes, smoke and mirrors. So if I'm called to be a steward of what God has given me, that's going to change the way that I look at life. We often say, when we consider the money that's given to the work of the Lord, we usually refer to that as money given to the Lord, that this money is the Lord's. And I understand that. In a very special way, when I give to the work of the church, I'm giving that to the Lord. But if I think about it, all of my money is the Lord's in reality, isn't it? All that I have has come from Him, the giver of all good and perfect gifts. So it's not just that I set aside this part of money for the Lord's work, but really all that I have is given from God. I'm a steward. And not only are we called to be stewards, but as followers of God, we're not walking through this life alone. We're following Him. And followers of God all throughout Scripture have given. They've sacrificed. Whether it's the patriarchs like Abraham and Isaac and Jacob in the Old Testament offering sacrifices, or whether it was the Israelites who were given very specific guidelines for sacrificing to God, even coming over into the New Covenant, we're called to sacrifice. In fact, it's interesting to me how many times stewardship is mentioned in the New Testament. If you look through Jesus' parables, over half the parables Jesus told dealt with stewardship in some way or another. In fact, if we're just doing a word count and just looking at words that deal with stewardship and words that deal with baptism, stewardship is mentioned more times in the New Testament. Obviously, both are important, but that should be a reminder to us of how vital it is and how many reminders we've needed to be the kinds of stewards that can glorify God. Now, under the Old Testament, there were some strict guidelines, and we often associate tithing or giving 10% with the old law. And it's true that when we come to the New Testament, we don't have that command carried over. In fact, if you look at all the sacrifices that were required of a faithful Israelite under the old law, it probably would have amounted, once you added in those sacrifices, to a greater percentage of someone's livelihood. And we don't have that specific number carried over into the New Testament, but I need to ask myself, if I really am serving God under a covenant that the book of Hebrews would call a better covenant, wouldn't I want to do even more than they did? Wouldn't I want to make that a good starting place maybe, but give even more? If I really understand that I'm a steward of God and a follower of His, that'll change the way I look at my resources. There's an Old Testament passage, too, that I believe illustrates this principle. It's in 1 Chronicles 21. And in 1 Chronicles 21, David is on a mission to build an altar for worship on the side of a threshing floor. The threshing floor that he's going to use is already owned by a man named Ornan. And so he goes up, because of the prophet Gad speaking to him, he goes up to Ornan, and as he describes the situation, here is the response Ornan says in verse 23. He says to David, "Take it, and let my lord the king do what seems good to him. See, I give the oxen for burnt offerings, and the threshing sledges for the wood, and the wheat for a grain offering. I give it all." Now that seems like that would solve the issue, wouldn't it? David was seeking to attain this threshing floor for an altar of worship. This man says, "I'll give it to you. I'll give you everything you need." But look at the way David responds. He says in verse 24, "No, but I will buy them for the full price. I will not take for the Lord what is yours, nor offer burnt offerings that cost me nothing." Now think about that for a second. There was something important to David. He didn't want to offer something that didn't cost him anything. And so when I think about sacrificing and when I think about giving, if I'm giving to the Lord, it should be giving that costs me something. There should be a cost in there, because I'm offering to the one who gave me everything. And David understood that. And so David says, "I'm not going to offer a sacrifice that doesn't cost me anything." If you think about walking into the home of someone who says, I want you to come in and I want you to walk into a room. And this room is filled with all kinds of really neat items, some fancy electronic items, maybe some nice pieces of furniture, some things that really catch your eye. And this person says, you know what, I will give you any one of these that you choose. And so you look around and you think, well, this is pretty good. It's a pretty good choice. I'm going to pick what I want, take it home. You'd probably think that's very generous of that person. Now, would it change your opinion if you found out that all of the gifts in that room were free gifts that had been given to this person, and this person really didn't want anything, and so here are all these gifts that are given, and so you can come in and take any of these. He didn't really want them anyway. Well, you'd probably still be thankful for it. There'd be a sense of generosity there, but it would be a little different, wouldn't it? It would be different because you'd realize, well, that didn't cost that person anything. And I wonder sometimes how guilty I can be of giving to the Lord something that doesn't really cost me. So it's a challenging thought. We're called to be stewards. We're called to be followers. And how do we do that? How do we give? When we come to the first letter we read written to the church at Corinth, we find out some specific instructions Paul gives about a collection that he's going to be taking up. We'll look in verse 1 of 1 Corinthians 16. He says, now concerning the collection for the saints, as I directed the churches of Galatia, so you also are to do. On the first day of every week, each of you is to put something aside and store it up as he may prosper, so that there will be no collecting when I come. Now here we have a great example of Paul talking about a specific contribution, but the way he tells the church at Corinth to take up that collection is when they come together to worship, that's the time to collect that. So when Paul comes, he won't have to make that collection. There's a sense of regularity to my giving. It's a regular time for me to reflect on what God has given me. It's a regular time every week for us to come together and not only say when I'm giving, I'm putting a check or I'm putting some money in the plate, but I'm also reflecting on the gifts that I've been given, on the blessings I've had this week. It's really a time of reflection as well. And it's something that's done regularly. It's an attitude that we see from the very beginning of the church in Acts 2 and Acts 4. We see this incredible generosity of people taking care of other Christians. And so it's something to be used for those who need it. So there's a sense in which we give regularly when we come together. And we give purposefully. There's a purpose behind what we're doing. There's a plan in place. We have a budget as a congregation that we have, and we can see where the Lord's money is being used in the work of ministry here at Graymere. And so when we give, we understand there's a purpose behind it. There's something specific that's happening. There was a purpose here. In fact, in 2 Corinthians chapter 9 and verse 7, we're reminded that we give as we have purposed in our hearts. And so it's not something I want to do just as sort of a mindless, quick exercise. It's something I want to really think about and really reflect on in my heart, something that I've purposed there. And I'm robbing myself of a chance to reflect on God's blessings if I don't do that. In the Sermon on the Mount in Matthew chapter 6 and verse 21, Jesus tells us that where our treasure will be, where our heart is. And he doesn't say that when we put our heart somewhere, our treasure will follow it. He says that our heart will follow where our treasure is. Where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. In other words, where I invest my resources, that's where I'm going to be concerned. That's where I'm going to have my heart. That's where I'm going to be thinking about. And so if we're concerned in what we invest in, we should be giving purposefully when we think about giving to the Lord. And we also think about the cheerful way in which we give. And this is a song we used to sing when I was growing up in a VBS, God Loves a Cheerful Giver. And I don't know that I ever really grasped what that meant. But the idea that we don't give under compulsion, we don't give because we don't really want to, but it's something we feel like we need to do. You know, that's really true for every act of worship, isn't it? If I'm worshiping under compulsion, not because I have a desire to, not because I'm wanting to honor God, but just because what will other people think or I feel obligated to do this, I'm really missing the point of true worship. But if I've given myself first to God, then that's going to be poured out in the way I give back to Him in worship. Not just in singing and praying and taking the Lord's Supper and studying His Word, but also even in giving. a cheerful giver. Even though we think about difficulties that we face financially, it's still possible for us, even if we give just of our means and we give what we can give, to have that cheerful attitude. And it's a reminder, too, that when we give, we're not just giving to meet a number on a spreadsheet. We're giving to the work of the Lord. Sometimes I think it's easy for us to think about numbers and maybe think about meeting a budget or meeting what we've got set as goals for the year, and we forget what we're really giving toward. I want to just remind us for a few minutes this morning about some of the things we're giving toward. Let's look at some of these pictures that will remind us of our ministries. If we look at this next slide, we see here some pictures from the Golden Age Banquet. We're reminded of the work that's being done with our seniors' ministry. All the places, not only the places that they go, but the memories that are formed there, the ways in which they care for each other, and they're dedicated to serving God, and the ways in which they teach us. It's powerful. That's part of the ministry that we're supporting when we give. Let's look at this next slide. We see our young families here that were on a retreat, a couples retreat, focusing on having healthy marriages earlier in the year. We think about our families and the way we want to support them. That's part of what we're giving to. If we look at this next slide, we can see some of our ladies in the ladies retreat that was set aside for a time for them to grow spiritually together. If we look at this next slide, we can see work being done at our Vacation Bible School, lives of children that are being touched, lessons that are being learned that they'll never forget. When we give to the ministry of the Lord, we're giving to accomplish these purposes. Let's look at this next slide. We can see here the work being done at Bible Connection, our Bible hour that takes place on Sunday nights. In fact, we had such a large crowd for Trunk or Treat last Sunday. I think we had over 60 that were in that small auditorium for that opening session, and maybe even more that came in. Who knows what seeds could have been planted? There's ministry that's taking place. If we look at the next slide, we're reminded of Giveaway Day. The way in which we, in a meager way with our efforts, are simply trying to help others. If we look at this next slide, we're reminded of the recent trip to Panama and the mission work that's being done not only in Panama, but all over the world. If you haven't grabbed one of these little cards that tell about our mission works, you want to do that. Be praying for our mission works that we support. When we're giving to the Lord, we're not just giving to meet a budget. We're giving for a mission. We're giving for a mission of ministry. And it's a blessing to participate in it, and it's a blessing to be reminded of what the contributions go to, of the works that are involved in. And we wouldn't have enough time this morning to list all the things that this congregation is doing and seeking to glorify God with. But I just want to remind us, when we give, there's a mission, there's a vision that's behind that we're giving to. We're giving for ministry, to glorify God. And as we think about the way in which our money and our talents and our efforts can be used for Him, it's just a blessing to participate in it. So we give cheerfully. We give cheerfully because we know what the purpose is behind our giving. As I mentioned earlier, we have several men that will begin serving as deacons, that will dedicate themselves in a special way to serving God. They've already been serving. Their families have already been serving with them. But now, there'll be a special way in which they're serving God. They've set aside their lives in service to God as Christians, and now they have an additional way to do that. I hope we're praying for them and for their families. I hope we're praying for all of our deacons and our elders. I hope we're praying for them as they lead in these ministries that we'll be giving to and that we'll be supporting, and that we can come alongside them and we can support them, and they can know that we're working alongside them and with them and seeking to glorify God together. It seems to me that when we give ourselves first to the Lord, a lot of these other questions and issues fall into line. And it's easier for us as a congregation to serve when all of us are headed in the same direction, pointed in service to God. Over the last couple of weeks, I've been humbled and encouraged by the way in which you've served. I've been encouraged just to see what has taken place. We have had a busy last few weeks And it would be easy to complain about how many activities we had lined up. It would be easy to say, oh, I just don't think we can do this. But you know, I didn't hear complaining. I heard people who were excited about opportunities to serve. And we might have talked about how busy it was, but people were still plugging in and diving in and serving God together. I want you to know that was a huge encouragement to me. And it was a great sign for the future as we think about what we can do together when we give ourselves first to the Lord. Anytime we think about giving, we need to be reminded of what God has given us. And so as we reflect on the fact that every good gift comes from Him, that all spiritual gifts are found in Christ, we're reminded that the greatest blessing we could ever have is the blessing of salvation, the blessing of becoming a Christian, being united with Christ in baptism. And once we're buried in baptism and we rise up to walk in new life, all spiritual blessings are found in Him. And if you need that to happen in your life, if you need the blessings that can only be found in Christ, you can make that decision this morning. Or maybe you've made that decision and you want to rededicate a part of your life that you feel like needs to be rededicated to Christ. Or maybe there's another issue, something in your life, you just want encouragement. If we can help you in any way, please come as we stand and as we sing together.